coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hey, welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is a Thursday, the 21st day of September 2023. How time flies, as I always say. Folks, you know, you have seen, I'm sure, the various social media postings, the Rumble snippets, the snippets about just a number of different things with respect to, man, something's coming. And then you've also seen things about aliens and UFOs. And then you've also seen things about the findings of ancient or older aliens, if you will. You remember that story. Well, all of that is going to be, basically everything is going to come together today for you. And I've got two tremendous guests with me. But before I get to the guests, Steve Quayle and Jesse, I want to address something here. And this is about the Jarlsrud findings. Okay, now the spelling on that is J-U with an umlaut, L-S-R-U-D. Jarlsrud finds. Okay. German expat Waldemar Jarlsrud was a well-respected and admired merchant in Acambaro, Mexico. I know I really messed that up, but nonetheless, in 1944, and stumbled upon a discovery which should sound really familiar to the Gen 6 audience. The amateur archaeologist uncovered some 33,500 artifacts that took, which look a lot like the ones that our team had uncovered. And if you think back to the previous programs with Jesse and Steve, you know what I'm referring to. There were statues anywhere. And I apologize. I'm trying to read this from a preview monitor. I apologize. There were statues anywhere in 6 feet to 1 inch long that were made of ceramic, stone, jade, and obsidian. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. I'm not even sure what that is. I'm sorry? Obsidian. Oh, I'm sorry. Obsidian. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Obsidian. Man, I got to go back to grade school. There were also obsidian knives from the find that, despite being underground for so long, were still sharper than a scalpel. Think about that. There were also strange representations of what looked like Bigfoot, sea monsters, animal-human hybrids, and what looked like dinosaurs, and just like the artifacts from our first expedition, there were also reptile-like creatures that were sexually interacting with humans, and many the artifacts showed them eating people. Now think about that, folks. And think about where we are today, too, as you're hearing this for our listening audience on the radio. And for the viewing audience, the text is on the screen. The skeleton of mammoth was uncovered, as well as the teeth from an extinct Ice Age horse. Included in the find were also several human skulls and other ceramic artifacts, as well as simply baffling depictions which words cannot describe. Especially my words, folks. Specific to our discussion, there were numerous depictions of a variety of races represented in the artifacts, from Egyptians, Sumerians, dark-skinned people, such as Africans or Caribbeans, Asians, as well as Caucasians with beards. Many of which were totally foreign to the region and shouldn't be represented given the historical narrative of Columbus not coming to America until 1492. Now listen to this. The University of Pennsylvania did radiocarbon dating and additional tests on some of the pottery in their labs and determined that these were made somewhere around 4500 BC, some 6500 years ago. And folks, again, as I opine here, think about these numbers. And also think about the Bible. So, the German stuffed his house with the artifacts and even needed to enlarge it to accommodate all of them. And I'm talking about the Charles Rudd finds here. And I'm talking specifically about Vladimir Charles Rudd. Now, throughout the years, he would entertain various scientific and intellectual visitors who wanted to see the artifacts. One such group was from a different university, came to view the finds, and after seeing a half a dozen pieces, determined that there was no way they could have been modern reproductions. Interestingly, when they were told they were found, they quickly clammed up. Early in the find, the Smithsonian, without seeing or evaluating the artifacts, dismissed the collection as an elaborate hoax. Go figure. Again, my opining there. American archaeologist Charles C. DiPizzo, I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name, was dispatched to Acomboro in 1952 to supposedly examine the artifacts after only spending less than 4 hours very carefully examining some 32,000 pieces. He declared them a fraud. After all, mainstream science couldn't have an alternate version of ancient history floating around out there. And Charles Rudd's find was gaining notoriety. It eventually came out that DiPizzo was sent by the Smithsonian, but his efforts to discredit the find backfired. And there it is, right there. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And as poorly as I might have read that, for which I apologize, again, the text was on the screen. You can read it. And if you're listening to this by way of any podcast, you can certainly go to HagmanPI.com and pick up the video from the text right there. So with me right now, again, is Steve Quayle and also Jesse. But again, before I get to them, I've got something very special given to me from Steve and from Jesse. Specifically, Steve said, yes, you can play this to debut this to you, the Hagman Report audience. And this is the trailer, a trailer that I just want to make sure I don't mess this up here. This is a trailer of a documentary coming out that will be available. Well, you know what, Steve, we'll tell you a little bit more about this when he comes on. But watch this carefully. I watched it several times, and a couple of times after watching it, man, something in my spirit really was moved. Here's the trailer.
ultimately, in the end, we want to bring the truth to the world.
Jesse is down in the midst of cartel country. It is a dangerous place.
Artifacts in Mexico are evidentiary of this corruption of the seed of man.
What they depict are ancient aliens coming back to Earth who are really fallen angels in disguise and telling us that they are our creators.
Straight alien with an exoskeleton.
We're talking about fallen angels. We're talking about entities with supernatural intelligence and wisdom beyond anything anybody who's a normal human could even begin to understand.
Here it is. Bam, baby!
We are at a time unlike any in history. The thing is, this is a time warning. This is a time marker. It is a warning.
We got a discovery here. We found something, you guys.
Sit in.
Okay.
Wow. This is like next level. There it is there, ladies and gentlemen. Gen 6 Productions bringing to you literally extraterrestrial and human contact. These aliens and divine beings are amongst us, have been and are interacting with us on different levels and walks of life.
Look, there's another one. Whoa, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
There you have it. Close up, uncut, and raw. Gen 6 Productions Archaeology.
At this moment, before the end of the age, you will see with your own eyes each shovel, each root that has been cut, and each artifact that has been uncovered.
Gen6.com. That's Gen6.com. I'm telling you. Again, rewind this. If you're watching this on Rumble or Brighteon, rewind that and watch that trailer again. What a fantastic trailer. And for as poorly as I did with the reading of the introduction to that into today, I've got to tell you, this is going to be mind-blowing. So with that, Steve Quayle. Again, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, and Jesse. Steve, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, I apologize for the sound, because in the original trailer, there's no glitching of sound and there's no shuttering or image problems. So there's some problem taking that on the screen today. But saying all that, this project now has come into the realm of historically relevant, given the findings in Peru, and Jesse's going to address that. But the reason Doug read the Jarlsrud, I hope people were paying attention, 1944, then in 1952. And what's interesting, and we didn't have time to put it, you know, in, there's a second page to what Doug was reading. But the point is that the cover up, the cover over, the containment of the narrative by the Smithsonian, every time there's a group of, I would say this, true history assassins, the Smithsonian is at every part of the story. Now, what's really important for people to understand, that it's easy to criticize, but when you see Jesse and he's on his hands and knees with sometimes I think we had 20 workers digging, we're showing people that this isn't a modern invention, Doug. You know, everybody has their own opinion, their feelings, but ladies and gentlemen, I want you to keep this in mind as you hear Jesse. We are up against the major intelligence agencies of the world. They have a time frame for the disclosure of the whole alien presence on Earth, but they want to be able to spin it in a non-biblical manner, in a controlled manner. They want to maximize fear. They want to initiate total control. And what God in his mercy has been doing, and with us pretty much for the last 4 years, meaning Gen 6, Jesse, and our entire Gen 6 team, Daniel Holdings has done an amazing job on the script. But this is an entire different, Doug. There's some, you know, when we did Lies of Men and Gods, we could only put in, like, I don't know, 5 minutes, the excavation. But we decided to let people see shovel by shovel, bucket by bucket. You saw Jesse getting down an 8-foot hole, digging this stuff out. And the point is, ladies and gentlemen, is I think it's really critical that God in his mercy always allows the truth to come out. But people in their folly and their submission to seduction will always resist the truth until it's too late. So what we're doing in this documentary, it's 6 hours. It'll be up for viewing on Vimeo, I think, by the end of next week, and DVDs the following week, and all of the specials will be offered the discount. But this is 6 hours, just the expedition part, and it's shovel by shovel, bucket by bucket, alien find. So every find that we have established the provenance and authenticity on, it's documented. And so with that, I'm going to bring Jesse on because I want him to explain what's going on with the Peruvian artifacts. And Doug, it was interesting because there are certain people, we'll just leave it at that, that hold us to a different standard than they practice. And one of the biggest scams in the world was initiated by the man that got worldwide attention on the Peruvian three-fingered aliens. Now, there are real ones, and we're going to show a couple video clips during the show. And this will be a 2-hour special. But the point being is that we are up against, again, ladies and gentlemen, the events of the end of the age. And so with no further talking on my part, I want Jesse, go ahead and take it, Jesse. Let's talk about the captivation of the world by the Peruvian, let's just call them, mummies, calcified mummies. So, Jesse, thanks for coming on. And, brother, you must have had a laundry bill because you had a lot of, you had a lot of Mexico all over you for a lot of days.
Thank you, Steve and Doug. Well, there's definitely a lot happening. There's definitely a lot of movement pushing towards different types of energies, attempting to push the narrative in a certain direction. And when it comes to the mummies or the beings, they're actually dried up beings that were preserved by a diatomite mineral found and discovered in some caves. But let me give the listeners a little background of how I know what I'm about to say. Steve and Doug, you guys both know this, that I over the years I've had the privilege and the opportunity to be contacted by some of those same people that that received Jaime Maussan at the Senate, some of those same people that received him. I dialogue with these guys on a daily basis, and I'm talking about the people from the Senate. So I get when I think about it, you know, it's like I have had the privilege and the opportunity to be able to ask certain questions that other people don't have the opportunity to do so. And one of the biggest things is there's no easy way of saying this, Steve and Doug, because you know it's not in my nature to attack somebody's identity and to attack somebody's character and to try to butcher them and bring them down. But the thing is that it's no secret, you know, and a lot of people, a lot of people both people that are credentialed researchers, professionals in every area, every field, and to the computer keyboard warriors, you know, who watch from all over the world in the, from the comfort of their own home, and you know, claim to be experts in situations where they've never been on the scene, or they've never, you know, taken it upon themselves to, you know, to show up on site and really find out what's going on, find out and investigate what's really happening with the presentation of these beings that were brought to the Senate in La Ciudad de Mexico, Mexico City. So my thing is we all know that everybody knows that this gentleman, you know, Jaime Maussan, you know, I've been around him, you know, whenever there's conventions and certain functions, and the people in Congress, they invite me, they ask me to come around, and you know, Steve, and it's not that they're inviting me because, I'm not trying to take credit or make myself seem like I'm this certain special type of individual, but in our reality, Steve, you play a big part in this. You and Doug play a big part in me grabbing the attention of these certain particular individuals. For the simple fact, Steve, is that through the grace of God, you know, putting me in contact with you, I've had the opportunity to work under you and your tutorship, your instruction, your mentorship, you know, and putting me in these trailers, and that's what grabbed their attention. You know, the first time they contacted me was after the first trailer. And, you know, the words that they said to me was, you know, we know that you work with some serious people, and we know that the work that you're doing is real. Some of them collect these artifacts, but you know, they're busy going about their doing their thing, and you know, over the years they've collected artifacts, and so here we come, you know, making these trailers and now this documentary. So they respect that, and because of these trailers and the documentary, they have gravitated towards me even more. And they invite me to their functions. And sometimes, like, for example, the hearing in Mexico City a couple weeks ago, I was invited to this function. I was invited to this. My guy, my contact, who's and it's not just one, Steve. I want to make it a little bit more clear and a little bit more transparent. Through the grace of God, I have earned, or I have been given favor in the presence of these guys. And there's probably about 7 to 9 politicians that hang around together. And I think five out of those 7 to 9 individuals really gravitate towards me. And they call me and they ask me to join them. And when this hearing happened in Mexico, you know, I was like, David called me. His name is David. He said, hey, Jess, do you want me to, there's going to be a hearing. There's going to be a presentation. The beans were not the main topic of this presentation. It was just the presence of the sightings that are happening, not only worldwide, but the sightings that continue to happen at an accelerated pace within the coast, the Pacific coast, especially Tijuana, Rosarito, Northern Baja California, and up to San Diego. And I asked him, I said, well, who's organizing this? And he said, Jaime Maussan. And I was like, you know what, David? I'm going to pass on this one, simply just because I know everybody knows Jaime Maussan's background, and Well, first and foremost, he's famous. I call him when I'm around all of these individuals and we're at functions or having a dinner or something, because I do have dinner with these politicians, and this dude, I call him a demigod because he's that famous over here. Just last year, during the UFO Fest, they gave him a special celebration and a presentation, and they named the street after him. So that just goes to show how well received this guy is. I can't hear the audio.
Okay. There we go.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The reason this is important is because I was on record, and I'm on record, and this is why what Jesse's laying the groundwork out. And Jesse, again, you don't have to go in that much detail. I'm trying to get people to understand the governments of the world are talking to one another, especially in South America and Mexico, on the simultaneous release of the information that America has been able to buy their silence with. Mexico is the, I'll say this, the cerebral cortex of the alien intervention. And as Jesse was talking about and Doug was reading about, all of the different people that came into Mexico, it wasn't after 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That it's a false narrative. So again, Doug and the entire audience, what the reason why this is critical is Jesse was invited to go to the place where Masson was. But because of some of the instances, for instance, a fake ferry, we won't name the gentleman, but a fake ferry was sold to a well-known researcher in the United States, and he had to basically say, hey, this thing was fake. Well, people are trying to profit off of what Jesse's doing, what we in Gen 6 are doing, because we're establishing, Doug, and the entire audience that's listening, we're establishing not only historic precedents with Jarlsrud's find, but also the contemporary find. So, I mean, we're talking about 1944. That's close to 80 years ago. So the people that criticize, and I have one guy, you know, and just FYI, this is why the expedition video, and the expedition video doesn't have B-roll. The only thing you're going to see on the expedition video is Jesse, the team, digging up stuff. Daniel Holdings, who wrote the script, myself and Jesse, the interviews, because people have got to have an understanding of this. This is the most single important stepping stone or foundation for the greatest deception that the world's ever seen, that we're being warned ahead of time by the grace and mercy of the living God that's going to come upon the earth. Even today, Doug, I posted on my website a young man who died and was brought back to life for 3 years after he died, talking about God showing him. This guy, this young man was 10 years old. It's on my website today. And showing them that the aliens are demons. And the interesting part about this is that our entire presentation is biblical first and foremost, and what we're doing, and this I want to get this out and I'll give it right back to Jesse, we're concerned with the biblical Genesis 6 narrative, i.e. that's the name of the company, but it's so important because it's called the law first mentioned. When something shows up in the Old Testament, most people don't understand the theme is established in Genesis and carried out through the entire world of the Old Testament, New Testament, and also the pseudepigraphal writings, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Giants, all of the different writings that even the early church acknowledged. They weren't inspired in the same sense as Peter, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, or Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, but they accepted it as true. So here's the issue, and I hope I'm clear. You have the world right now that's trying to take control of the narrative. You have the world that's trying to contain the narrative. You have the lies in Congress saying they have 1,500 pages that's redacted. They have 20 million files, 20 million files. Well, how could you know that? Simple, because the people that know those numbers and can access some of that, almost all of it, have said that. So here is why this is important. Jesse's been given favor with the senators and with different politicians of Mexico. And Jesse, let me just sign this up, and then I want you to go on if you don't mind. The idea is that I believe it, that people wanted to throw us into the same category as the individual that has a pretty colorful past, that's known that maybe some of the things he sold in the past weren't real. Is that an accurate statement, Jesse?
Yes, that's completely accurate, and that's where I was headed with what I was saying, Stephen. You know, I never mentioned to you when they had contacted me and asked me, "Hey, Jess, this event's coming up. Would you like us? Would you like a seat in the Senate and join us?" And you know, and I asked them who was spearheading this whole event, and they told me, and I was like, "You know what, bro? I'm going to pass on this one." And I gave no real particular reasons why, but after the fact, when the event passed, and you know, as obvious, it gained, you know, worldwide attention, and of course, you know, it's a serious, it's in my opinion, it's the most serious topic in our time right now. Why? Because it's the root and the cause, the forces and the powers that are moving behind these are the forces and the powers that are moving behind every event, big and small. These are the forces that are influencing those who rule over us, who contaminate our food, who contaminate our water, who contaminate the oxygen we breathe, who are corrupting everything from its natural state. Why? So these entities can continue to move in and operate from within our midst, from the inside out, instead from the outside in. So what's going on right now is that, you know, as we've mentioned, is that, you know, we know this individual, like you said, Steve, he has a colorful past, and he has done, you know, some not very honorable things. And that to me, he has this track record, and that to me, you know, well, I don't want to be affiliated and associated with him just because of that. I don't care how famous he is. And I said that to my contacts last night. But here's the thing. I asked one of my guys in the Senate, I said, "Brother, why?" His name is David. His name is David Avila Roldan. If you're listening, man, shout out to you, brother. I said, "Why, if every single one of you knows his track record, and every single one of you knows that, you know, he's not always shooting from the hip, why are they allowing him in there?" And he said, "Jesse, first of all, he's extremely powerful because he owns a television station. Second, he's extremely famous. Third, and third, which is the most important than the first two I've mentioned, is the evidence that he's presenting right now up to this point. Yes, there has been some of the beings, the dried fossilized beings that were presented, a couple of them were fake. But the ones that he's presented, they're real. And when and he's showing up with a whole team and an arsenal of highly qualified individuals, from scientists that connect to every part of this field that would be conducive to us knowing and seeing and receiving the truth that is behind these beings that he's presented. So here's the thing. The reason why, and that was my biggest question, is why are they receiving him, as I've mentioned? And the thing is he's also, he's over the years, he's done a lot of, analysis testing, C14 testing, DNA testing. And I have the results right here. And if you guys would like, I could send them to Eric the Tech, and you know, if the people are interested, they could download the link and see the results for themselves. As I was studying the results, and I'm going to give I have them right here. I have I'm going to give a real brief opinion on what they read, and I believe that what we see here and what it is that I'm going to share with you guys plays a very big role and how things are going to play out in the future. And this is my theory right now, and I stand strong behind it because it's reinforced by my knowledge and biblical understanding of God's word. And because I know and I understand who God really is and what God's word says, I'm able to make a conclusion based upon
Jesse,
what...
Jesse? Jesse, let's have Eric right now. Eric, if you would, play that short film of, you know, the alien with all the muscles and the... I want... You send it to me, Jesse, and I want the people to see it. It's only a minute, I think. And ladies and gentlemen, there's so much available, but trying to compress the background into the basically the foreground, the results of our finds and how they fit in with everything. Suffice it to say, we're trying to give people a biblical understanding of how late it is, and the events are going to happen worldwide are going to have people looking for a savior. But it won't be Jesus, and the alien savior card is going to be played. So, Eric, if you could put that up, and then, Jesse, after it's up, will you address it, if you don't mind? It's the one you sent me, showing me an alien, I would say, in an embryonic position.
And Eric, the tech is working on that right now as we speak. It's going to be just like seconds away. But Steve, let me just ask you as a layman here, against both of you. What we're looking at is the big picture. The finds tell a specific story. Number one, they verify, they validate the apocryphal books of the Bible in terms of the pre-Adamic stuff, the history.
Interference with the human genome.
Right. Okay, but... There's also, when you mention, and you're going to get a lot of crap about this. Well, you know, you talk to your critics too much. The reason this is important is because they contaminate the legitimate evidence. If you were to take this into a courtroom,
yes.
Okay, and that's why it's so important in terms of making sure that for example, what this documentary is going to show shovel by shovel, and there it is right there. There's no really, there's no messing around with it. Go ahead, Eric.
Okay, so basically what we're looking at here is the tomography CAT scan. They ran this is the mummy Maria, and a lot of people are saying this that this mummy was fake. But in our reality, if you take a look at the CAT scan, and it's a reconstruction of the body being taken from the basis of its original CAT scan and its formation. And the studies, the conclusion to the studies that have been done on this entity, on this being, show and clearly demonstrate that there has not been any reconstruction done to it, you know, and this is the type of evidence that is being brought forward by Jaime Maussan. And this is the reason why he's being received into the Senate. And it's not just only because he's, you know, extremely famous and extremely, you know, popular, but because or being that, In the natural state of how we receive and perceive things, when somebody usually has a bad track record and known for, not playing fair, brings forth evidence like this to serious people who are willing to push aside, you know, the personal vendettas that this individual has had with other people on a personal note, and stay focused on the reality of what this individual is really bringing forth and presenting. And he is presenting this type of evidence to the Mexican Senate and to the Congress. And it's not just only this being here, but it's also the smaller ones that he is presenting. And he not only has he presented that, but he has given C-14 and DNA testing to these beings. So, you know, if people want to know what it is that, why it is that Mexico is, you know, receiving this individual. There's many reasons, but the main reason is because this guy is coming forth, bringing circumstantial evidence. And please, you know, just to let the people know, I'm not advocating for Jaime Maussan. I'm advocating for the truth. I'm not advocating for anybody or anyone outside of where God has called me. I am here to, I am here and put in the places where God has positioned me so that I can bring first and foremost all of the people the truth, the way that God has called me to do, and servitude to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when it comes to these people, another one of the reasons why I'm very selective of how I interact with them, and believe me, I've prayed and fasted, asking God for guidance and counsel to lead me in the right direction and to show me who to work with, who not to work with. And, you know, Maussan is definitely a no-go for me, but this is the evidence that he's bringing forth. And this is what he's presenting to the Senate. And this is the reason why the Senate is receiving him. And based upon the information that some of the guys that, you know, right there from the Senate have given me, but right now he's in Harvard following up on these studies and these analyses. Right now he's over there. From what they said, I don't know how true this is. Like I said, you know, he's redoing the DNA testing to the mummies that he presented. But here's the thing: he has the original results from the analysis that were done, I believe, in 2017. And I have the results right here with me, and I've studied them. And as I was saying earlier, I believe that they're never going to tell us the truth. Because
let me interrupt you right there. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a reason, because I'm watching the clock as well as, you know, and what Jesse's trying to do is give you the background, bringing it in the foreground. We, and I'm not going to say where, Jesse, so don't you say where, but we had to call off one of our expeditions that was underway in another country because the powers that be, and we have people that are in that world, told us that basically it was setting it up and they wanted to take Jesse out. And by the goodness of God, by the mercy of God, this isn't playing games, ladies and gentlemen. You've got the Antichrist, you've got the fallen angels, you've got demons, and demons are coming into the even the Christian world that's just kind of left that be. But, you know, they don't want to touch it, but now they're being confronted with it. So, you know, the DNA results, Jesse, we can let, you know, we can put those out. But what we've done in our series is called the, you know, Genesis 6 Expeditions Mexico. Ancient alien artifacts unearthed, or alien artifacts unearthed. And so we're going to this, we're digging these holes that deep, so that people can understand in the historic setting and in the spiritual realm. And that's what Gen 6 is all about. Look, we have to have a standard. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. And Doug, I find it, you know, vomitous, there's a good word, that people will accept the fact that some of these ugly creatures are our creator. And then you look at, I've said it before, a handsome man, a beautiful woman, the beauty of a little child, at least the ones that get to be born, or even the ones in the womb. And what we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, is a setup. And we're watching A View to a Kill, to borrow a name from a famous Hollywood movie, and the kill is our own unless we confront it. So this is critical. So people, Doug, you know this, they say, well, what does this have to do with salvation? Everything. If Jesus said, and he did, the whole world lies in the evil one. If the Apostle Paul said, we're going to be confronted with seducing spirits and every manner of evil that's never even been seen in history, we have to, by the grace of God and only through the grace of God, give people, I would say this, teaspoons of reality rather than lakefuls, because we're now in the context through Hollywood, all the different movies where people are beginning to ask these questions. And as I said, when you and I and Jesse were talking before we started, podcasting, this is the biggest topic worldwide. And I'm on record, and this is critical. It's one thing to come on the scene afterwards. It's another thing to be saying it. But we're up against, and that's why we value your intercession. We're up against the most powerful evil in the world, but greater is he, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Eric, will you put up Ephesians 6 right now? Because this is what Jesse, and Jesse, you can take it wherever you want to take it. But the point being is that they are our brothers and sisters, and even the skeptics, the agnostics, and the atheists, and the controlled opposition, and the Luciferians, the Satanists, the globalists, all of these people hate the truth. They hate Jesus. I'm going to read this. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Those are where we're at right now. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you read that in the Amplified Bible, it's really, really specific. But Jesse, this is talking about the unseen world controls the seen world. And quite candidly, the world says, well, seeing is believing, only in the context of lies, illusions, and delusions, because we know that anything that can be turned into evil will be turned into evil, but it's going to be as slick as they can make it to swallow it. So go ahead and take it off, because I want you to explain just again the amount of people that believe in Mexico, that these are the gods that created us, versus those very few, or I think that's what you said in the past, very few people that acknowledge God, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Savior. So this has everything to do with salvation, because we're fighting for the cause of quite candidly, the unrepentant damned, that they might repent and be saved. Go ahead.
That's exactly it, Steve. And in addition to that, one of the things that there's many things that, you know, that stand out in my mind that, you know, grab my attention that I believe are extremely important when I listen and I'm around these guys, and they like, for example, one of them says, they believe in God, but they believe in the God that they think that God is. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. Whenever I get an opportunity, I present the gospel to them, and, you know, they nod their heads and, you know, they go about, you know, their business and do what they do. But the reason why I was mentioning the percentages on the results earlier is because it ties in with what you were saying, Steve, and it plays an important role with how things are going to turn out in the very near future. And when I was analyzing the results of this test, you know, it has a certain percentage of, you know, amphibian, and a certain percentage of Homo sapien, and basically it's 70% composed of living organisms from this earth, and 30% is unknown. And these are the results that were given from the labs in Canada. But the thing is this, Steve and Doug, is they're never going to tell us that other 30%. They're never going to tell us that unknown. Why? Because that unknown percentage that they that they left out in the results of these readings can be found here on this earth. And these beings, the whole thing is that from the highest levels of these people that I'm dealing with, they're looking and expecting to find something that's not of this world. And the thing is, Steve, I've said this many times, Steve and Doug, is that Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he's the creator of nothing. And everything that they find is going to be something that's measurable, that exists within our world. Yeah, they may be able to bring a moon rock and, maybe a rock from Saturn, but even that has been measured. And even these substances that are in outer space are, you know, whether they're magnesium or hydrogen, it's measurable and it can be perceived and interpreted by us here on Earth. Where am I going with this? What I'm trying to say is that the reason why they will never give us that extra 30% and let us know is because if they do, it's going to be something from here in this earth. These entities are not taking something that they've created themselves. It goes back and it ties into the Genesis chapter 6 narrative. They're taking whether it be the human genome, whether it be a reptilian, whether it be an amphibian, whether it be anything of everything or of every living organism, is what they are taking and mixing it up, splicing it, making their own creations, taking God's own creation and using it to attempt to deceive us. That's why even if they were to give us the 30% that came out unknown in the analysis, then they would conclude it to be fake, because everything that would be found in the results would be something that's found here on this earth.
I think too, Jesse, it's important because when the Pharaoh Akhenaten's DNA was checked, he was basically, they called it alien DNA. Okay. That was a big story. And we talked about it on Doug's show probably a year ago. I maintain that the Human Genome Project was not so much about identifying the human genome, but looking for the seed of the fallen ones. And again, it goes back to basic Bible that's never taught from the pulpit, so forgive me, up until this point hasn't, that when Adam fell and sinned, something genetically was corrupted. I call it the xenogenesis, which is the destruction of the human DNA. That's for another podcast. But what's important for people to understand, when we come to Jesus Christ, we become new creations in him. We're no longer the seed of Adam, but the second Adam, because old things have passed away. All things, we have become new. And that was my issue with Christians that were taking the jab from hell, the vaccination. Well, if you're a member of the body of Christ and Jesus sits at the right hand throne of God, and by superpositioning a quantum physics principle, we're seated in heaven with Jesus, then why did so many Christians, and this is important, yield to the lies of the devil by way of the government, never even, and I'm talking Christians now, giving a second thought to the premise, biblical directive, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that God's spirit dwells in us. But I think, Doug, and this is really an important point, I would guess 99%, even of people that read their Bible, don't understand that principle, that we're translated from the kingdom of darkness, sure, we have to live here, into the kingdom of light. And so as I was reading Ephesians 6, people have got to understand, when Jesus himself made this statement, there's never been a time like this, nor would be ever again, and except God the Father shortened the days for the elect's sake, that's us, there'd be no human flesh left alive. Back to what Jesse's talking about, the 30% unknown DNA. I just watched an Expedition Bigfoot, and they were talking to a lady who was running some tests on the DNA of one of the big feet or Bigfoot creatures, and it came back unknown species. So with this in mind and all of the issues going on in Mexico and Peru and pretty much South America, we have a real, how should I say this, window into the future nature of deception. And so, again, Doug, I hope as, you know, as a, an investigator.
You brought that home nicely, man. Okay, based on current findings of previous artifacts, you can look at the future and see also what they're doing at present, right?
Exactly.
Simple as that.
And again, the extraction of DNA, alien DNA, is really a big deal because in the secret world, and I can tell you this, I've talked to multi-star generals. I've talked to intelligence agents that quit, and a couple were murdered, but they got right with Jesus. The thing is that talking about the experimental laboratories around the world, not just the bioweapons labs of 45 of them in the Ukraine, which that's probably light, but all over the world, the Luciferians under alien control, whether it's Area 51, whether it's S4, whether it's Plum Island, whether it's this place in the Pacific, that place in the Pacific Ocean, a little atoll, they land, they let the people off, and they go down into the deep underground bases. Jesse brought the news of the Coronado Islands. And again, Doug, I don't know if we showed them on your show, but even the glyphs, the ancient writings of the fallen angels, the contemporary broadcast of those. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what a symbol is, you can flash it as a Batman symbol in the sky. But even that, we've been able to, by the grace of God and through his mercy, and it's always God's mercy, we've been able to discern the evil plans of Satan for these end times. And one of them, one of the most current ones is getting... how should I say this? Where Jesse is in the Baja, the Coronado Islands are just, they're really important, a cornerstone. In one of the fallen angel messages, and remember, I know who's watching this program as you do, Doug, as you do, Jesse. So we don't want to give them more ammunition, especially to use against us, but we have a protection. This is what I want people to understand. Every single child of God who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb doesn't need to be afraid of any of this stuff. And that's why we're trying to warn and inform the children of God that it's coming against you. But just for instance, there's so much evil activity off of the Baja California area into, the literal oceans off of Southern California, Baja down into Ensenada, etc. But what is critical is this. The Mexican government, the Colombian government, these are all real countries. The Bolivian government, the Ecuadorian government, the absolute talking, and I don't speak Spanish, obviously. The thing is, but they're talking amongst themselves at how to release the information. And I'll be honest with you, Doug, Jesse, you know too, they want to profit financially. Mexico could be the number one tourist capital of the world once they release the alien stuff, and they only are going to do that as, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, it's called the inverse declination of the United States of America and the relevancy and release of truth. As America declines more and more, these countries have become braver and braver. And what we have been able to do is to the average hardworking Mexican labor or the farmer in Mexico that makes almost, $200 a year, Jesse, we've been able to establish provenance. And that's what's really important. It's a fancy word for authenticity. And nobody else has taken the time, Doug, to dig up stuff on camera in real time. And, this is why we've got to explain to people the critical nature of our work and why it's so timely.
All right. This is going to end part one. Jesse has been doing the heavy lifting, literally the dusting off of artifacts, bringing them forth. Steve is putting them together, producing, of course, Mexican alien artifacts unearthed. And I'm just here as a platform, folks. This is part one. Tomorrow, part two. Stay with us.